Welcome to the Start Empire Wire Founders Podcast, where we make entrepreneurial founders a top priority. Each episode features risk takers, business builders, community shapers, institutional and government supporters in our local startup ecosystem. Tune in weekly to hear all about what's happening with the movers and the shakers of Southern California's Inland Empire and beyond. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Founders Podcast, where we interview all of the movers and the shakers here in the Inland Empire. Today, we are with Estefan Encarnacion. I did my best to pronounce it, but we're going to let Estefan talk a little bit about himself, and then he is a part of EBL Law Group. He's also going to talk about that. So thank you for coming on, Estefan. Welcome to the Founders Podcast.
Thank you for the invitation. I appreciate it, man.
Awesome. All right. So very first question we got to ask you is, where did you grow up? You know, where's the place you grew up, and, you know, how'd you become the person you are today?
So I grew up, so I was born in Costa Rica. Which is Central America.
I love Costa Rica.
My mother is Costa Rican. My dad is Puerto Rican, but he was, you know, he was born and lived in the Bronx, New York, his whole life. So,
oh, nice, New Yorican. The Bronx. New Yorican, yes.
So I was born in Costa Rica, but my parents split up very young, and so when they split up, my mom took off to California.
Okay.
And so
okay.
I grew up from the age of 2 till 10 in Inglewood, California.
Inglewood, always up to no good.
Yeah, it was pretty rough, I won't lie. And so my mom met my stepdad, who also happens to be from Costa Rica. And nice. So when my sister was born, I was 10 years old.
Okay.
And that's when my parents decided to go back to Costa Rica.
Oh.
And so, yeah, and so I basically, from 10 till 18, I did all my upper, like, high school classes and everything. I graduated from high school in Costa Rica.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I was fortunate enough to go to, a private school over there. I was able to get a U.S. high school diploma. I got an international baccalaureate diploma, Costa Rican diploma.
Wow. So,
that's kind of like my upbringing. Costa Rica versus Inglewood is totally different.
That is totally different. Because Inglewood, you know, you're talking about being thugged out, you know, and then Costa Rica, Costa Rica, you
it's like
country, nature. Yes, yeah. Rural. I've been to Costa Rica. In 2019.
Okay, not too long ago.
Dude, it was really nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so tell me about how'd you get back here to the U.S. and get on the path you're on to being an entrepreneur.
Sure. I was born as a dual citizen of the United States and Costa Rica of my dad, right? Being a dual citizen. My dad had joined the Marine Corps when he was, he got drafted to go to Vietnam.
Nice.
And so that kind of always kind of little stuck with me a little bit.
Yes.
As soon as I graduated from high school, that was the first thing that I wanted to do was just do something totally drastic and different. I graduated in December of 2000, and in January of 2001, I was at boot camp in MCRD San Diego.
Wow. Wow.
That was the first thing that I wanted to do, is just get that under my belt and get out of my system, so to speak.
So you're saying the Marine Corps.
So I joined the Marine Corps. That's
awesome.
When you join, when you join the military, you choose your job. Like, it's not something that's given to you, right?
Right.
You take a fixing test or whatever, but so I chose to be in the infantry, and specifically, I chose to be a machine gunner.
Come on, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So how was that?
That was my job in the Marine Corps for 4 years. We did get deployed overseas, so we
got deployed
now in Japan for a year and a half.
Wow.
And then from there we did get sent to Iraq, right?
So yes.
I participated in that battle over there.
So you were in Iraq. That's freaking awesome.
I was in Iraq, yeah. I was there when things were going off. I got injured. I don't know if you can
still see. Oh yeah, I see. Yeah, oh dang. Wow, what happened? So what happened?
So I survived an explosion. It was actually a landmine, an anti-.
Whoa! Landmine. Wow!
Not everybody survived.
No,
but I did, and so that kind of, I was pretty jacked up. I was hospitalized for almost 3.5 months.
Yes.
I had multiple facial fractures. The surgery, this line is from the surgery to repair my face.
Cranium. Oh my goodness. Dude, that is, that's something I did not know. That's awesome.
That totally changed my perspective on things and in life in general, right? So
yes,
definitely inspired me, and especially the passing away of Staff Sergeant, who was sitting right behind me. He passed away immediately. So that whole situation kind of inspired me to just believe and understand that I'm here to do something greater, right? I need to do something better. I need to do something to excel in life. Just
right.
And so that kind of led me on this path towards going back to school, number one. As soon as I got discharged in 2004, I enrolled to the local college, which was Cal State San Bernardino. And that's where I got my undergrad.
That's awesome.
My real path, actually, so I was studying really to go to medical school. That's what I was really wanting to do, right? The amazing doctors, they did an amazing job with me. And so I always felt like I had the talent and the wherewithal to do that, to the same, like to give back.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How I felt like I could make an impact in this world. Unfortunately, the MCAT, the medical college admission test, I never actually had the time or the support to go through with that, taking that test.
Okay.
And so my girlfriend at the time, she had always wanted to go to law school. And she's the one who suggested it to me. She said, hey, you're not studying for this medical college test. Why don't you take the law school admissions test? If the goal is you want to help people, you can still do that, right?
Okay. Absolutely.
Never thought of it like that. And I never really planned on that happening.
Uh-huh. But
I took on the challenge, and I had no idea that you didn't have to have any background in law whatsoever. Even the law school test itself has nothing to do with the law at all.
That's cool. Okay.
It's just, reading comprehension and whatnot. And anyways, I took the test. I applied to the only college that was taking applications at the time, which is Laverne, the College of Law.
Yes.
And with the score that I got in my undergrad record, they offered me a 93% scholarship to go to law school.
That's freaking awesome, dude.
And that was pretty much it. Like, I didn't look back since, and I was like, okay, well, this doesn't just come to anybody, right? Like,
right, I'm here for a purpose. A yeah.
I'd be a fool if I let that go, right?
So
that opportunity.
Yeah, dude, that's huge.
So I embarked on that mission. I wasn't going to just, not take advantage of that opportunity and to really do something great. I'm a first generation student. I'm the first in my family to be in the military. I'm the first in my family to graduate college
That's I was gonna ask, that's freaking, so you're first for all of these,
for everything.
That's freaking amazing, bro.
Yeah. First person to ever get a law degree and actually be an attorney in my whole entire family. Like,
talk about changing your family tree.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I'm trying to grow that generational wealth,
Come on.
Yeah.
That's cool. So you go through law school.
Yeah, and so then law school, and like in law school, I got to work for different law firms.
Okay.
I was lucky to have that opportunity.
Local law firms?
Local law firms here.
Okay.
Just doing different areas of law. And I actually in law school, you know, I realized like, I'm a minority, right? I speak Spanish. There's a lot that I can do that I can offer to our community, like just to minorities in general, and to offer that service that they really need and that access to justice, right? And that to be able to really help and like make people understand like this system can work for us too, right? Like,
yes. It's not yes.
For, you know, a specific group or anything like that. Like
because if you know the law, I mean, like. The biggest part of why people, you know, get into so many things, they don't really understand the laws, right? how many people cases come through your office that you know have happened strictly, you know, because the person wasn't aware of the law?
I'd say like 99% of the cases.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. It's a challenge because it's, I mean, you're not really expected to know this, to be honest with you. Right?
Okay.
Like, our justice system is you can represent yourself, but I would never recommend
it. Yeah. Cause like, man, you're going to get ate up, right?
Yeah. Like there's just so much that you are expected to know. Right.
Yes.
And it's set up. If you don't really, you know what you're getting yourself into, then yeah, you're gonna get railroaded.
And law is really intricate too.
Oh, so
the language is intricate, right?
What people don't understand is like there's a law about the law, right? There's like a procedure. There's a procedural law.
Oh.
And people don't understand that there's. Procedure that you have to follow, and then yes. There's the actual substance of the law. People just focus on the substance, not on the procedure and how to get there. And that's where you get really jacked up, right? Because you don't know.
Give us an example of like something that people focus only on the. Yeah.
Yeah. The most common thing is like the procedure on how to introduce evidence, right? Like to once you're finally at trial. You need to be able to lay a foundation for the evidence that you're trying to admit. You can't surprise the other side with evidence that you should have disclosed.
Oh.
And the mere fact of disclosing evidence, right? Like, and not everything can be admitted. Right? Like there's what we always hear, like hearsay, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a real thing, right? Hearsay is, and there are exceptions to hearsay, but you have to be able to know what those exceptions are and how to have something admitted. Otherwise, I can object to it, and if you don't know how to get it in, you're not going to get it in. You can't use it. So
wow.
And then people feel like they're the justice system is messed up because they couldn't be heard or they couldn't show something that they feel like they should have been able to demonstrate. But there's a procedure, like there's a certain way you have to follow the rules. Like
that's very insightful, man.
Yeah.
It's very insightful.
Just a tiny little bit, right? But it's
And I can imagine you got a lot more where that came from, man.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, even like starting the case to begin with, like there's a very particular thing that you have to know how to do. Otherwise, your case can just get dismissed from the very beginning.
Yeah, wow. So like from a business perspective, let's, you know, how would that apply if some person, like maybe a specific scenario, like I don't know, like does that apply to like when there are cease and desist letters towards a certain business and you know?
Oh sure, yeah. So for example, I'll give you a small example. A restaurant owner came to me because they had received a cease and desist letter from the UFC.
Oh,
they're like, yeah, we caught on to the fact that you're showing our UFC without our permission, and if you don't stop immediately, we are going to pursue litigation. And you know, they'll like it was a pretty intense letter, right? And they realized like what they were doing was wrong, right? It's just Like, yeah, no, there's a reason why they put out those disclaimers, like, this is, you know, an authorized thing, and you have to, it's not authorized for distribution without our consent, all that stuff. Like, they mean it, right? Like, but you gotta understand, like, they put a lot of money into it. That's
So as you scale, as you become bigger, as you start moving into bigger business type of things, then the small text needs to be read at all times. It needs to be paid attention to.
That fine print.
The fine print, yeah.
The fine print is not just boilerplate. Like, that stuff actually means things, right? Like, you are committing yourself to very particular rules, right?
And man. Well, I would say, like, for instance, for, like, social networks, you know, a lot of people are using products and services on their mobile phones, and they're getting onto social networks, and they never read through the terms and conditions or the terms of services.
Right.
How many of us read through those terms of services?
Yeah, no. I mean, if you did, then no one would be on these platforms, right?
That's true. That is so true.
The Inland Empire startup ecosystem industry is tremendously fragmented. A few top-tier hubs, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and San Diego, are well covered by media, events, and data platforms. Finding reliable information relevant to startups or the tech industry in the Inland Empire is extremely difficult. As a result, startups can't scale fast enough. Investors are having a hard time finding the right deals, and corporates can't find the right companies to partner with for their innovation activities. Start Empire Wire, the leading Inland Empire startup publication, is providing the Inland Empire startup ecosystem with the most accurate, engaging business and financial data, events, and news. Our reach of entrepreneurs, C-level executives, angels, VC investors, startup employees, key management at innovative corporates, and big tech is the solution for your B2B or B2C needs. As we build out our platform, we're looking for partners. This is your opportunity to get in on the ground level. If you're looking to align yourself with the local and growing startup and tech ecosystem of the Inland Empire, we have created the platform to get your name noticed and the opportunity for you to grow the recognition of your brand. Contact us today for availability and pricing options. We look forward to our partnership with you.
All right, so tell us the beginning and the origin of EBL Law Group. And that's the current law group you're working with right now, right?
Right. So this all started first as the law office of Estefan Encarnacion, right? Like, as soon as I got my license, I opened up my own law firm.
Nice.
I always felt like I could just do it better myself, and I could serve the client better on my own rather than the restrictions of the bigger law groups that I was
being a part of those. Yeah.
And I always kind of felt like, all right, like, I need to be well-rounded as an attorney, because like, in our culture, that's kind of what's expected of an attorney. Like, when you approach an attorney, you're kind of assuming that they know everything about everything.
Everything. Wow. Okay.
That's not true.
Right.
As far as the truth.
Right.
But knowing that that's kind of like the common sort of understanding that you have of an attorney, you can assume, like, it's safe to ask them almost anything. And so with that, like, that's why I always kept myself as a general practitioner, and I never really just centered on one particular area of practice.
Okay.
I've definitely narrowed it down for sure.
Yes.
But in the beginning, I was very receptive and very open to being able to know about and practice different areas of law. Right. And something that everyone should know is, like, in law school, you don't specialize in law school. Like, there's no law school that you can get a specialization just with your Juris Doctorate degree. You specialize on the job, right?
Okay.
And that's how it is for everyone.
Right? Everyone. Okay.
And everything that they teach you in law school is really to know how to research the law and how to apply it. But the actual practice of law, that doesn't get taught. Right? So,
really?
Practice the law is something that you learn on your own as well, right? Like the actual, like how to file things in court, none of that ever gets taught, right?
Oh, they don't teach that?
It's crazy. All that is stuff that you have to learn on the job, right?
Which you got to get in and get the experience.
Yeah, that's why I benefited from putting myself in that situation where I could get, I was a law clerk. I did work at a law firm. Right?
Yes, that makes sense. It gave
me the confidence just to, even when I was started the first day, I never really comprehended the fact that I was actually being like a business person, right? Like,
yes,
I was more focused on like, let me just like try and get cases going, like trying to like grow a clientele.
As an independent, right?
Okay. I started off in a tiny little office, right? Like barely just a desk, like an executive suite, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was just myself and my phone. Like I had no help at all for the first year.
Yes.
Just trying to grow that clientele. And so those are kind of the approaches that you have to take as an entrepreneur, right? Like it's not just going to come to you,
right? Yeah, that's right.
You can't just be behind your desk twiddling your thumbs expecting the calls to come in.
You got to be proactive.
No one knows you, right? No,
like, yeah,
definitely got to be proactive. Yeah. And so I focused on that heavily on my first years. I was able to meet the right people, get connected to different sources of clientele. So I was able to really grow my clients.
Practice. Nice.
And then just from there, just doing good work, right? Like just doing good work and doing what you're promising to do and to deliver. And those clients keep coming back and they refer, right?
Other clients,
referrals, and that's kind of, so, in these I've been practicing law for 8 years and we've had close to just a shy under 1,000 clients, right?
So nice.
That's a huge accomplishment.
That is huge. Yeah.
This speaks to the volume, right? Like the actual amount of people that come to these doors.
Yeah. No, that's huge, man. So
yeah. So then I did that for a number. I then switched my name to make it a little bit more diverse, have a more diverse base, let's say. So I switched to Fidelis Law.
Dallas Law?
Fidelis Law.
Oh, Fidelis Law. Oh, I like that. Yeah, yeah.
And that comes from the Marine Corps motto, which is Semper Fidelis.
Semper Fidelis, yes. Yeah,
which means always faithful.
Always faithful. Yeah. I like it. So, yeah, no, that's cool.
Yeah, I wanted to not necessarily pigeonhole myself with my last name.
That's good. No, that's a good...
I had to realize, like, okay, what's my market, right? Who's my market? Like, who am I trying to market to? And, like, I want to be able to grow, right?
Yes, right.
I had to, I didn't want to... I was very willing to not go by my last name or the name of my firm. It's not the most marketable name, right?
Yes.
Let me be smart about it, right? And so...
So you're growing. You're growing the brand now. You're
right. Now creating a brand, actually having a logo and a brand and a website and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then I realized. So, but I got to a point where I was like, okay, I want to continue to grow, but I can't do this by myself.
Mm.
It's impossible. Right?
Yes.
To the level of growth that I want to get, I cannot do it by myself. Right?
Yeah, it's time to get it bigger or scale up. You just can't do it by yourself.
No, you can't. And I realized that early enough to be able to want to get partners.
Very cool.
My partners and I, like we offer, I feel like, a lot of different unique perspective on the practice of law.
So mention their names as well. And then how'd you meet them?
All right, so we have Paul Baselis. Mm-hmm. I met Paul through my other partner, Jose Lopez III.
Okay.
And so Jose had been working with me about 5 years or so.
Yes.
He had finished law school. He had attended law school with Paul.
Right? Yes.
So that's kind of how I got to know Paul. Paul was a practicing attorney already.
Okay.
He was on his own as well. And,
yes,
we kind of tried to get together and trying to like pool our resources, right? Because
combine forces.
It's smarter to do that, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And we all had this, you know, this vision of like, well, okay, we're three Latino lawyers in the Inland Empire, right?
Yes.
All Spanish speakers, were relatively youngish, right?
Right, right.
I just turned 40 this year, right? So.
Oh, young, bro, young. I'm about to turn 40 this year too. We still young.
exactly. And so this field of law, you're expected to keep up with the times, right?
Yeah,
you have to. And
so yes,
part of that is keeping up with technology, and and that's kind of like our strong suit, is that we are all very tech savvy.
Nice.
Like this is how you get to compete, or this is how we compete with any other law firm that has, you know, that's a huge law firm, right? Like that's like the top 500 or whatever. We all have access to the same exact resources. Right? Their library of resources, the exact same is library that I have access to, because everything is online.
Right.
Everything is online. And there's only two or three companies that offer legal service support.
It's
either A or B, right? I go with A, and that's like that's the huge market, right?
Okay.
It's the same access to resources that the court system, that they sell to the court system.
Right? Oh, wow. Right? Okay.
So back in the day, like, you know, law libraries were, you know, extensive actual physical places.
Today, right.
The law library is online.
It's right? Digital, huh? Virtual.
So,
wow.
Right. And, you know, they, in law school, a huge portion of it is teach you how to do legal research.
Okay.
And so I have access to the same exact resources that any other top law firm in the area has access to, right? I can offer it at a discount, at a cheaper price, but, and there's a more direct conversation between the client, right? And
yes.
So we get to leverage that technology, right? We get to leverage it to our advantage, right?
Right,
the client's advantage, really.
Right.
And at the same time, like, we're still young, so we are always trying to do good by our clients, and we're trying to keep a good reputation.
Right.
Going, because that's how you grow, right?
Right, like, right.
You can't screw over your clients. You can't screw over your, you know, that's just not ethical to begin with.
Yes.
It's not going to be helpful to you as a business owner to screw over your own clients.
Right? It's so true. Yeah. So Esteban, Esteban, Paul, and Joseph Lopez.
Jose.
EBL Law Group. Yeah. All right, so tell us, okay, what particular vertical do you guys target? Is there a vertical? Or are you just general practitioner? Did you carry that over into the EBL side? Or
no, so the beauty about being able to partner up with these fellas is that, like I mentioned earlier, I got to tailor it down.
Yes.
So I actually now focus on the areas of law that I'd like to enjoy practicing, and
yes.
So you know, business formation and litigation issues, that's I strongly believe in the Inland Empire as a successful area, and I know that it's powered, you know, almost 100% by small businesses, right?
Yeah, so small much potential
is, that's the backbone of almost every society, is a small business, right?
Yeah, that's right.
We have the top Fortune 500 and whatnot, but
right,
what's in our backyard, right? Those are small businesses, right? Like,
that's so true.
People don't necessarily realize, like, every little shop that you go in a shopping center, that's a small business, right?
It is a small business. Right? Yeah, and
anywhere you go.
Yeah, and you got, you know, I mean, like, there's so many, even, like, I think they call them employer establishments and non-employer establishment in the census, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
And so, like, the non-employer establishments are maybe, like, freelancers and, you know, service providers, like when you first started off, you know, that's even, you know, the example, a good example of a small business.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely. I mean, we're still a small business, right? But
yeah,
point being is, like, so I get to focus on those areas and those issues,
Okay.
It comes along with a lot of contract reading and contract negotiation.
Right.
Dealing with issues between partners. A lot of real estate issues.
Okay.
Yes. Other partners get to focus on things that they like doing. So he focuses on the family law.
Family law. Okay.
He's very passionate about that. Don't get me wrong. All three of us are well versed in family law.
Family. Yes. Okay.
He's the guy who likes to actually do it.
I'm a little dirty from
the family law. I try to stay away.
Stay away from it, huh?
If the case is complex, I'll get involved.
Right.
So he'll focus on that area.
Yes.
Paul gets to he does what he enjoys, which is immigration.
Okay.
And criminal defense, right?
Immigration and criminal defense.
Yeah.
So, big in this region. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And so that's kind of how we get to advertise. We get to advertise what we do, and we get to advertise what our partners do, right?
Nice.
The beauty about it is that it's all here in one office, right?
Yes.
Because I realized early on, as a consumer, if you're searching for an attorney, that's a challenge, right? Because you have no idea
what you're looking
for.
You don't know.
The market itself is a difficult thing to pierce, right? To feel comfortable with. And at the end of the day, I've made it a point that the consumer wants to talk to the actual attorney before getting in the contract with them and paying thousands of dollars, right? It would be nice if you got to actually speak with the attorney who's
going
to be handling your case, right?
That's true.
A loft, oftentimes that doesn't happen when you call a law firm, right? You never even get to speak to the attorney. You only get to
see the desk. Talk to the desk person or the voicemail.
Right. And so, I mean, those are little things that I've been wanting to change for the consumer, right? Make it a more pleasurable experience.
Yeah.
Make it a more personal experience. Because what I realized is that, as an attorney, especially a young attorney that's wanting to stay in this area, I want that person to be able to feel comfortable to come back if they ever need
to
refer someone else to
us, right? That's right. So, yeah.
It's a different approach, I feel.
That's true.
It's a more personal approach.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about some of the business law stuff that you're handling on a regular basis, because, we're obviously a podcast focused towards startups, and small businesses. How would people be able to benefit from what you're doing, and what are some good examples of what you do regularly?
Look, a lot of people get hung up on selecting a corporate entity. A lot of people always feel like I need to do a corporation or an LLC right away.
Okay.
And I tell them, well, do you even have a business to actually
get? Woo! Right? That's a good question.
Don't just get focused on having an LLC or a corporation. You got to understand what that is going to do for you, right? And there's a cost to it.
Yes.
It's expensive, right? Does it make sense right now to do that? Because what people don't understand is what you're really doing is you're trying to create a shield for your personal assets. But if you don't even have personal assets to begin with, why are you going to be wasting your money on? It's a waste, right?
That is such a good point to point out, because people getting just started, sometimes they want to cover that base first, right?
They do, and they shift away the focus from what's really important, and more importantly, you shift away resources, right? That you
can
doing something else, right? Or focusing on a different part of your business, right?
Right.
So I always tell people, focus on having a business first, right? And then with that business, get personal assets, get assets, right? That you
then
need to protect.
So they gotta be making money first. They gotta have a viable business or a product or anything like that. And then they should decide that way.
Right. It doesn't always need to happen immediately.
Okay.
And I always tell people, like, look, what's the purpose of the business, right? Is it just for your own income, or are you trying to actually build a legacy here, something that you can hand down, something that you can sell, something you can establish credit with, right?
Yes.
Like something that you can actually, you know, acquire investors, right? If that's what you want to do.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it's there's a lot to it, right? And so
there's a lot.
You choose the wrong format in the beginning, then you may not make yourself interesting to an investor. You may not be able to make yourself available to an investor because they can't invest in your business the way you have it set up, right?
Have you dealt with companies who are going to go the venture capital route ever before? Is that something you look to deal with?
Just because it's not something that I have dealt with it in the sense that once a venture capitalist comes on,
yes,
the first things that they do is they do want to see your corporate status, right? Like, are you an actual corporation?
Yes.
How long have you? They want to see your minutes. They want to see your books, right? They want to see, and that's a lot of times what people, you know, you're focused on just making your product and so on and so forth.
You
leave all those little things
unattended.
And that doesn't help you, right? Because you have to be able to track your success, right? You have to be able to track and report to be able to attract an investor, right?
Yes.
Investor's not gonna want to just, you know, if you're not, you gotta be able to show profit, right?
Like, yes.
It's a lot of things, and if you don't even know how to actually set up your own profit and loss statement, then you're doing yourself a disservice, right?
You haven't even reached the first step, Ben. No, that's good. That's good.
So a lot of the common, like I call it common sense, right? But it's a challenge, right? Like a lot of people who are becoming entrepreneurs, right? So like either you're becoming an entrepreneur because there's an opportunity for you to take advantage of, or because the economics of the situation forces you to have to, you know, become an independent contractor.
That's true. Yeah, right? That's true.
Right? Like, not everybody wants to become an entrepreneur. Like, I, for example, I certainly never thought that I would go on that route. I never wanted to be an entrepreneur and have my own business.
I'm not the same, but like, I was kind of forced into it as well early on because I got laid off during the, you know, 2008, 2009 downturn. Yeah. I got laid off. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to start my own. Boom.
There you go. Right. Yeah, you have to have there is a motivation from some source, right? But at the end of the day, if you're not informing yourself on really what you're getting yourself into, that's where the challenges and that's where the problems come, right? And I always, my best advice to any business entrepreneur is, you know, just give yourself, pay for a little consultation or find an attorney who's willing to give you, you know, a free consultation on what you're about to get into, right? It's so much cheaper if you do a little bit of research and you protect yourself before you get into something versus after the fact, right? And that's what people also don't understand too, right? Because the judges, when you are in a business person, you're no longer considered a lay person, right? Now you have decided to elevate your status,
and
remove yourself a step above, or put yourself a step above, and now you're a business person.
Right?
A business person is a person who, by the court standard, you have to look out for yourself. No one is going to look out.
So that's from that legal perspective, right?
Exactly.
See,
you're expected to do your research. You're expected to know how to negotiate. You're expected to know your role in any situation because you're putting yourself out there. Right?
Due diligence. Wow.
Exactly. Yeah.
Due diligence.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because otherwise, you should just go back to being an employee. Right?
That's a great thing. A lot of entrepreneurs don't think of it that way, but that I think that, you know, from that legal perspective as well. You know, but I like a lot of the entrepreneurs that I have met are very like, you know, they're very personal responsibility minded, you know, but they could be a little bit ignorant, you know.
Sure.
You know,
and you know, it just comes from experience a lot of times too, right?
Right.
I realized too, like, you know, how you your networking, right? Like,
yes,
just getting to know people, talk to people, and like, don't just stay in your little bubble as an
yeah
artist. Like, you really,
that's good,
like, get to know and grow your experiences, right? Because
that is good.
You have no idea where problems are going to come from, right? Like, that's the thing.
Yes,
you can plan and this something's going to come out of left field and you never expected it, right? So if you're
so true,
right?
That's so true.
Those are part of the challenges as well,
right? Yeah,
as an attorney and as an entrepreneur, right? You got to be able to be flexible in that regard.
Right on.
Yeah.
So what has been some of the growing pains that you've experienced during the growth of EBL Law Group? Like, maybe just give us one of your biggest growing pains.
Managing people.
Managing people. So it's a whole new world, huh?
Yeah, definitely. Like, we have employees.
Yes.
And I'm an employer, and that's a huge responsibility because I have to make sure that I am going to pay my employees. And
gotta be sure to pay.
That's the number one thing. Like, they will always get paid before anyone else, right? Like, that's my duty. And like, I am their employer. Like, if I'm not 100%, then I know for a fact that I can, put their situation, put them in a dilemma, right?
They're depending on you now.
Oh, they are.
Yes.
And the truth is, I depend on them too. Like, I can't.
Yes.
Right.
Like, yeah. Vice versa.
And so, like, finding the right group to grow with, right? Like, finding the right people. Everybody, we're all on different levels in life, right?
Yeah.
But it's a matter of finding somebody that you can trust and finding a group that you feel comfortable growing with, right?
Yeah. That's good.
No matter how it's set up, at the end of the day, I rely on my employees to carry out the work, right? Like, I cannot do this without, right? It's impossible.
In this field
of law, there's so much that your staff needs to know, right?
Yes.
To be able to not necessarily replace me, but they have to be on my level, so to speak, right?
So you have to mentor them to really get into that right. Yeah. That right mindset and understand these things.
An investment of time, right? Like,
it is a huge investment of time. Yes,
time is money. So
yeah, like, that's true.
You definitely have to find the right people that you want to invest in as your employees, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah, that's good.
Like, as an employer, you should see it like that. Like, you should really value the what your employees are doing for you. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
And
it
creates a mutual respect for each other, right?
It absolutely does. And when you find good people that who are open to receiving the training and they're capable of completing, assignments, it's really awesome,
It is. And it becomes like, it's always like a group effort, right?
Yes.
And so it feels good, right?
Like, everyone has to carry their weight, kind of like, at the Navy SEAL training, you got that log, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know you aren't in the Navy SEALs, but
we did some similar stuff. We did some good training.
Kind of your team building with the Marines is being used in your job. It carries over, right?
Oh, for sure. Like, everyone will always tell you here, like, I don't expect anything from them that I haven't done myself.
That you didn't do yourself. That's good. Yeah.
I will always lead by example, and I will always be the first person to, get into a problem head first, right? And
that's the type of leader everybody wants, though. Like someone who is one of the people. Kanye said in one of his songs, "I'm one with the people."
There you go. No, and like, to be honest with you, like, so I've done every job that's in this legal field, right? So
yes.
I was, like, for example, in law, I was a process server.
Okay.
I was the one who knocked on people's doors to serve them the court document.
Right? Wow.
When I first started, all I was doing was just scanning all day, right? Documents, right? Just computer, like, filing and sorting things. I was also a notary public, right?
Yes.
Acknowledge people's signatures, right?
Wow.
I was a legal document assistant, right? Before doing that, so like I've done it all, and because I've always recognized, like, especially like in the military, the lowest man needs to know what the highest ranking person does, and vice versa. Because
that's good. You need to work it out, right? Like, you know, that's good. Yeah. So they, you got to have a replacement. Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's smart. I think that's smart.
Yeah, and it only comes about by being able to share your experiences and to really lead, right?
That's true.
You need to build that camaraderie, and you need to teach. Like, there's a lot involved in this, right? It's very personal. Right? It's
very personal. Yeah,
you get to see everybody grow, right? So you growth with knowledge, right? It's
great. Yeah, so do you find satisfaction in seeing that growth as well?
I do.
Yeah, it's cool
to see, like, you know, like how our team can just become more efficient.
Yes.
It's great, right, to see, like, we're doing better and better every day. And
that's cool.
Which is a great thing. It's a great experience.
Tell us about the current needs of EBL Law Group. Where are you guys at? What's the top two needs, top three needs?
Top three needs, referrals, referrals, referrals.
Referrals, referrals, referrals. Always. Trying to scale up. You trying to scale up?
Yeah, yes. Definitely.
Yes, yes.
No, you know, we're always into networking, right? Like, we're definitely, as a small business, like, you gotta let people know you exist. Right?
That's true.
You gotta put yourself on the map. You gotta be a mover and a shaker. You gotta be able to willing to meet new people and get out of your little bubble, right?
I met you guys at the Spirit of the Entrepreneur Awards.
Yeah,
that was the first time we ever met. It was a cool event, right?
It was very cool. And I'll be honest with you, like, I have never attended that event in the past. Like,
really?
Like, we are gonna be a new group. We need to be out there. Like, people need to see us, right? People need to know about us.
Right. It's one of the biggest nights here in the Inland Empire, man. Like, they do good. Mike Stahl does good. So you went to Cal State University of San Bernardino. Was Mike Stahl there when you were there?
He might have been. I was not in the business school.
Okay.
So I graduated with a degree in anthropology and a minor in pre-med biology.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, there's it's a big school, so they got pumping out. Neat. Yeah.
You have a lot of great resources. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. All right. So tell us the short-term goals. Top two short-term goals that you guys are trying to reach right now.
Short-term goal, we are very close to doubling our gross profits from last year.
Nice.
Out of that recession.
We just
stay on track with that.
Yes,
it's been a challenge. Yeah, it's been a challenge, but that's number, like, being able just to that's like a personal satisfaction.
Sort of, yes,
right? To see that, like, we're hit actually that, doing
that growth number.
Yeah, and like the effort that we've put into making contacts, at working, like, you know, like,
yeah,
this is not a 9-to-5 job. Like, we're open to the public 9-to-5, but we're still burning the light.
But it's continuous.
Out, right?
Yeah.
And people don't see that, right? And you're not expecting
to. No, I know, man.
Like, one of the things that I learned in this job too, that this job is very thankless sometimes. Right?
Right?
You don't always, but it shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be a thing that you're expecting from your client, right? It's more like, let me just do my good job, and they'll appreciate it at some point in the future, right? But if not, at least I did my part.
At least you have the satisfaction that you did your best. Yeah, no, that's cool.
You can't please everybody all the time. I've realized that too, right?
That's true. That's true.
It's a challenge, but you do your best.
So, yeah. All right. Goal number two. Second short-term goal.
Second short-term goal. Try to be making six figures.
Come on. Yes, revenue. Get that revenue up.
No, but with that, you know, like that's the motivation, right? Like, the
motivation
is to have that financial freedom.
That is true.
To enjoy life, right? To really enjoy life, right?
That is true. So, that is big motivation.
Yeah,
and that's the reason why we go into business, right? That's the idea. I mean, like, you can't be not making money and in business, you know?
Right. And you got to know when to cut it off too, right? Because that's true. Otherwise, it just becomes a hobby.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, you get your you know, your vacation when you feel like you've earned it. Right, I mean, you know, and stuff like that.
It's true. But yeah, that's our little mission.
All right. So I want you to tell us where you feel like EBL Law Group will be. Where do you envision you'll be? 5 years? I'm sorry, 3 years, 5 years, and 10 years. So now we're going for the long term.
3 years, my lease in this building is about to be up. So we're hopefully wanting to be in a bigger suite, right?
Expand.
We've expanded. We have more attorneys or more staff. That's number one.
Three. Okay.
That's the 3 year goal. The 5 year goal is to, so I have a great law clerk that she is in law school right now as we speak.
Nice. Shout out.
Should be back. Her name is Elsie.
Yes.
She should be back with us, hopefully as an attorney. We would love to have her back, but she's an amazing law school student. And
yeah.
She'll be a great attorney.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah. But that, it's that. Like, I do... like our goal really is to be known in this community, right?
In 5 years you want to be known as that resource here in the Inland Empire?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. EBL should be like a name that people will easily recognize, right?
Household name in the IE? Household name in the IE? Okay.
You know, I love the IE. I'm not. Yes. this is a great place to be. It's got everything. It's close to everything, and it's
yes.
far away enough at the same time. Right?
So, it's ours, you know.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's like, you know, it's like, you know, there's okay. So a lot of people that I've talked to, I've always talked to them about the story about a field of diamonds. Have you ever heard of the story of the field of diamonds?
No.
So South African man, he was, you know, around during the early diamond rush in South Africa.
Okay.
And he was a farmer. Okay. And he was searching through his land, you know, to try to find if he could strike it rich with these diamonds, right? Okay. And eventually he got to the point to where he felt like he was not going to find these diamonds here in his land. He actually sold all of the land and went and hunt all over South Africa to find diamonds to different places. Sold the land. And then right after he sold the land, next person comes in and finds a rock in a river on the stream in the back of the land. And this rock turned out to be like one of the highest carat quality of diamonds you could find.
Wow.
And the land was full of these diamonds. And so that second person who bought the land struck rich on diamonds, but the first guy, he basically ended up finding out about it. He actually died. And you know, after he died penniless, basically. Dang. So I always talk. I mean, it's a book called Acres of Diamonds. Acres of Diamonds. You can go look it up. I just did my best to retell it, but Acres of Diamonds is the thing that a lot of people don't look at. You know, the water is greener. I mean, the grass is greener where you water it, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so.
For sure.
And so the IE, I look at the IE as, you know, it's our acres of diamond. It's ours. Exactly. We make of it what we want. We build the value into it that we want.
So true. So true.
Yeah.
And we got to keep it ours, right?
And we got to keep it ours.
There's a lot of people that are wanting to come in and invest, right? And that's a great thing.
It's a great thing, but that if we're not taking our place in our position, then we're going to miss out.
Yeah, then there's, you know, there's a lot of local talent, right? Like, so.
Yes.
It's a good area to be in. Right?
Absolutely. So in 5 years, how's our name?
Our 10-year goal is
10 years.
We're gonna own a building out here, and we're gonna see EBL from the freeway.
Yes.
That's the goal.
Come on, 10 years on a huge building by the freeway, and yeah, love it. All right. Okay, so give us this is the last part. Give us the information where people can find you and your business on the internet. So social media, personal profiles.
So all the social media is going to be at EBL Law Group.
Okay.
That's our handle. And then so we're on Facebook and Instagram, and I think we're on YouTube.
Okay.
maybe. Our website is www.ebllawgroup.com.
Nice.
Our phone number is 909-581-4351. And you can email me at Estefan@ebllawgroup.com.
Awesome.
E-S-T-E-F-A-N.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Estefan, this was a great interview. I do appreciate you for coming on, man.
Thank you for
being
here. We're definitely going to meet in person.
Again, yes.
And we're going to do better things.
Sure. I'm gonna come down to that office in Rancho, not the one in Ontario. But that's your future site, a future one in Ontario. Awesome. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is it. Thank you for tuning in to the Founders Podcast. Please contact Estefan, contact EBL Law Group, get with them for all of your law needs. He works with startups, he works with businesses. So, you know, he mentioned, you know, there's family law as well, that's a part of it. There's no limit. So get in contact with him. And thank you again for coming on. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you like and subscribe to our channel. And we will see you back here in the future. Peace.